Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I see. Was blind, but now I see so clearly. Hallelujah, grace like rain falls down on me. Hallelujah, grow my stains are washed away, washed away. Amen. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Hallelujah, grace like rain falls down on me. Hallelujah, all my stains are washed away. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing our praise than when we first believe. Hallelujah, my grain falls down on me. Hallelujah, all my sins are washed away. Hallelujah, voice like rain falls down on me. Hallelujah, all my stains are washed away. They're washed away. Amen. Amen. Bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. O Lord, we cast out our idols. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not knit our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Let us be a generation that seeks your face, O God of Jacob. bend our knees. Oh, Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our hearts from evil things. Oh, Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. So give us clean hands and give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob, God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, O God of Jacob. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble. It's the beauty of simplicity brings me down to my knees. I'll praise you for eternity, and Lord, I love you because you first loved me. Beauty of simplicity that fills me with eternity. I've tasted your divinity, and Lord, I love you because you first loved me. We love you, Lord. We love you, and we love you. We love you, Lord. We love you. We love you. It's the beauty of simplicity brings me down to my knees. I'll praise you for eternity. Lord, I love you because you first loved me. It's the beauty of simplicity that fills me with divinity. I'm sharing your divinity. Lord, I love you because you first love me. We of you, Lord. We love you. We love you, Lord. We love you. And we love you. We love you, Lord. We love you. We love you. We love you, Lord. Love you. We love you. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you. Amen. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh, so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I am to worship, Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether worthy, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Thank you, Lord. Traveling through this wearisome land, I've got a home in that yonder city, good Lord, and it's not made by hand. I've got a mother, got a sister and brother who have been this way before. I am determined to go and see them, good Lord, over on the Eildon Shore. I am a pilgrim and a stranger traveling through this wearisome land. I've got a home in that yonder city, good Lord, and it's not made by hand. I'm going down to that river of Jordan just to bathe my wearisome soul. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, good Lord, then I'll know he'll take me home. I am a pilgrim and a stranger traveling through this wearisome land. I've got a home, that yonder city, good Lord, and it's not made by hand. It's not made by hand. Okay, folks, that's just a warm-up. You ready for a little Kris Kristofferson? One person is ready. Okay, you and me, two people. All right, Eddie, take it away. Eddie Kristofferson. Why me, Lord? I ever done to deserve even one of the blessings I've known? Why me, Lord? What did I ever do that was worth love from you and the kindness you've shown? Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted it. So help me, Jesus, I know what I am. Now that I know that I've needed you so. Me, Jesus, my soul's in your hand. I love you, Lord. Grace that you showed on the day when I cried, out to you. Maybe, Lord, I could show someone else what I've been through myself on my way back to you. Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted it. So help me, Jesus, I know what I am. Now that I know that I've needed you, so help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hand. Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted it. So help me, Jesus, I know what I am. Now that I know that I've needed you, so help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hands. My soul's in your hand. That's right. My soul is in his hands. Amen? And I think that guy knew what he was talking about. He came back, he says in the song, right? He came back to Jesus. So wherever we've been, whatever we think, whatever we've been doing, he takes us back. Huh? Hallelujah. All right. Hug a few people. Tell them how come it's so crowded in here. Okay, blessings upon you, Day Spring. Let's come back to our seats, and we have at least one prayer request that I know of. It's one that I know of, but I'm not telling you because you're not paying any attention. So me and Larry are now going to pray. Oh my gosh. Out of order, out of order. I want you to know that God really loves this bunch right over here. He just loves them. Smack them, Larry. Okay. So our brother Norm Matschek is not with us this morning. He has been sliding downhill to pneumonia. He's not there yet. And so we're going to put the brakes on, okay? We're just going to, in Jesus' name, stop any further advance of the bug, of the whatever it could be. We won't even speak the name again. Lord, we rebuke any sickness in Norm's body. And we thank you, God, for healing him and raising him up and making him strong again to minister again to us. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Any other prayer requests that you have you would like to... Yes, Mike's got a mic. Good morning, Levi. Try it now.
I went on vacation, stay home vacation, and then I got the flu. And then before that, I had like a bug bite on my lip, on my neck. gave me that. But I got over the flu, and then I was going to go back to work. Still pretty weak from the flu. Well, I was like pushing on that bug bite because it had almost went away, and it felt really weird. And I was like, that was something. And then
2 days later, I pushed on it again, and it kind of felt like if you broke the pencil lead off of the pencil and you were pushing your finger on it pretty hard, that's kind of how it felt. So then I was like, what if my wife should, feel it? She'd give me that, like, nurse face, like, oh, that's not good, but, like, pretending like it's fine. And, so anyway, so then I drove up to Canada. And on the way up there, I didn't feel very good. And I'm pretty nervous. And then she's like, well, if you're out of breath, like, you should probably go to the hospital. Yeah. I was like, out of breath. And I was like, praying to God, like, that'd be okay. Like, on top of your working.
Hello? Oh. So then I was out of breath and I was praying like that I'd be safe on the road and not run anybody over and pass out. Anyways, so I made it through the whole rest of the day and we were just been praying for it. The next day it was like smaller but still not good. Maybe like a week later it was like almost gone. And then I thought I had been putting some oils on it. Anyways, so then it started to come back. But I put some oil back on it, and as far as I know, it's gone, so praise the Lord.
Wow. You feel okay right now? Good. So, I guess we're giving thanks to God. Right? We're giving thanks to God for recovery. Is that how you heard it? I don't like thinking about bug bites and ticks and things. I don't like that stuff. Irene, we'll see if this mic works. And this one's really hot, I think, Don. This lapel, yeah.
I'd like to praise the Lord for an answer to prayer. Cecile's sister went to be with the Lord. And we prayed for her, didn't we? You know, it isn't dying that's the problem. It isn't aging that's the problem. She lived a long time. Sometimes it's the way we go that breaks the heart of the family. And she had dementia for quite a time, and it affects their personality and the person, you know. It breaks the heart of those who love them. But that lady was so blessed. She had children that were there for her. She had family that encompassed her. And when she was dying, they didn't let her die in the hospital. They brought her home. And they stayed with her. And they loved her. So sometimes, church, we have to take our blessings the way they come. Because when Lazarus died, Jesus wept. If it was me, I would have said, don't cry, don't cry, I'm going to fix it. Because Irene's always fixing the things for everybody. But Jesus wept. He wept for us. Because he knew some of the things we would go through and suffer and not understand. That had no answers to it. That when we were young in the faith, we thought we weren't going to go through anything because we were going to be faithful to God. And we weren't going to suffer at all. But there is suffering in this world. But I praise God that there are blessings that compensate. And I praise the Lord that Cecile has the assurance that she had a very loved sister that was loved to the very end. And they're going to be leaving this week for that celebration and how the church can celebrate, how they can enjoy a funeral like the world cannot understand, how we can rejoice for all those that are waiting on the other side. The world just doesn't understand that, because if they did, they'd turn to Jesus sooner.
Thank you, Irene. And I just want to say that Mom is doing well. She's not here because of that. She's not here because she didn't want to be in the house last night with Norm with his cold that went into his lungs. So anyway, she's doing well, and we are going to be going down Thursday.
Do you like to celebrate?
Amen.
We had a family reunion this week, past week, over the 4th of July, and you get a couple dozen Heinies together, let me tell you, you can celebrate. It's a reunion, it's a celebration, it's a catching up on everything and everyone and every thought, and I mean, it's wonderful, right? That's what.
Amen.
And that's what Irene's talking about for when we go for that great reunion. Talk about a celebration. We can't even get it, can we? We can't quite figure it out. Pat?
Well, I'm so glad that Patty's able to be back with us. And I'd just like to encourage everybody to keep asking Jesus to heal her. She's here today because Jesus is healing her. And we just thank him for that. Father, we're so thankful that you watch over and care for each one of us. We're thankful that Patty can be with us today. Lord, the doctors say we can't do anything, but we know Jesus can. And Patty is just an excited person because of what Jesus is doing in her life. We thank that. Thank you for that, Lord. She's a blessing to us. We thank you, Father, for everything that you do in our lives, because you've chosen us as your children. We ask you, Father, just to continue to bless Patty, and ask Jesus to continue to heal her. And we ask the Holy Spirit to continue to teach her and comfort her. In Jesus' blessed name. Amen.
Amen.
I would like to lift up my oldest nephew. He's 36, married. Three kids, very active in his church, a worship leader musically. When he was born, he had a defective heart valve. And 17 years ago, the doctors at UCLA went in and repaired it. But they knew it was a temporary thing. They thought he might get 10 years out of it, he was lucky. He got 17, pretty amazing. They've had to replace it again. So at 36 years old, again, they've had to open up his chest, put him on a heart-lung machine. This time they've replaced the valve completely with a bovine valve. And of course, my sick gene kicks in, and I start asking if he's going to be wanting services of hay on his breakfast or whatever. Very fortunately, he's got a good sense of humor. But at any rate, he is still in ICU. There was, you know, tubes coming out of his chest and all over the place, and one of them was leaking blood. And they finally took him in last night and ran x-rays, and they found out it was blood that was left over, not fresh blood. So that was a blessing.
Yeah.
But they still haven't got totally cleared up. They're working on it. Talked to my sister last night. They're hoping that he may be out of ICU within another couple of days, but that remains to be seen. So just his wife, of course, they've not been married 17 years, so she wasn't through the first time, because the first time he recovered very quickly. He was a hockey player. He wasn't going to stay down. She didn't experience that. Talking to my sister, they did. So now they're really concerned because this has been a very slow recovery, partly because of his age. Second time he's had to have his chest opened up. And they're saying it's probably going to be a couple of months before he's back to able to go to work and get to normal routine again. So pray for the Lord that the doctors accomplished what they did, and just pray for continued healing, that they get things straightened out. And I'm going to ask Skip to pray, because I'm going to lose it.
And what's his name?
Patrick.
Patrick. So, Lord, we bow before you and speak the name Patrick to you. God, we thank you for the medical people and all of the wonders of surgery. But we're asking for your hands to be laid upon Patrick and to heal him, God, to clear up all of the stuff that needs to drain from his body and heal that wound and make him strong and return him back to his family, to his wife, to his job. So, Lord, we join our faith with Gary's, and we say, let it be in Jesus' name.
In Jesus.
Amen. Well, as you can see, we have some guests from Bogota, Colombia. But before they come and share, I need a couple of ushers to come and we'll receive our offering. And while we're doing that, I guess you're already loaded with your slides. That's one of them? Okay, good deal. When Madison Irving is not here, can you tell the difference? Madison's the young gal that runs our projector for us most Sundays. When she returns, be sure to thank her. Just say, boy, did we miss you. In her absence, Jessica Van Loo stands in, does a great job. When you see Jessica, would you thank her for her service? And now, would you thank Miss Amanda for filling in? And during the songs, I think it was Sarah that was running. Is that right, Sarah? So this is day spring. We move along. We get along, right?
Yeah.
Father, we thank you today that you do provide, not necessarily the way we think it's going to go, but that if we just learn to rest in you and follow your ways, oh God, everything good happens. So thank you for the blessing of finances. Thank you for the joy you put in our hearts to give it away and to watch it work. So we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. And probably the next time you see Noah Cook, you should thank him for playing offertories, as he often does. I thought he was here this morning. So did you. You didn't think he was here?
I think he's having a whole day.
Norma's hiding. Oh, you've got a song?
Yeah.
Well, do it to it, girl. Oh, my gosh. Maybe she doesn't have a song. Of kings and Lord of lords. Sunday school today, yes or no? Yes, Sunday school. Kids, you are dismissed to Sunday school. There you go. In your bulletins, please notice three very important ones. Well, they're all important, but there's a pizza fellowship tonight and a movie. If you haven't signed up for pizza, please do so. Say again, what? If you're coming for pizza, raise your hand.
If you haven't already signed up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Oh, yeah, if you're not.
You need to know how many more.
That's tonight at 6. Then at 6:30 on Tuesday night is a newcomers meeting. If you'd like to come and learn more about Day Spring and all of that, you can see. And then Thursday night, summer frisbee. And it's preceded by a teaching and a video. It's just an awesome time, so you're welcome to come to that. Well, all the way from Bogota, Colombia, by way of Banks and Dallas, Oregon, would you please welcome Eddie and Sarah Trussell? Great to have you here.
Hi.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Well, hi. As he said, I'm Ed. This is Sarah. Most of you know pretty much our story, but we're going to go through it a little bit today just to give a refresher. I lost it. Nope, there it is. Okay. So first, where is Bogota? So we're in Colombia, just on the northern tip of South America, and Bogota is in the middle of Colombia. It's up in the mountains. We're about 8,000 feet. We're about 4 degrees off the equator, so the weather is the same all year round, 60s, 70s. Rains about 12 o'clock every day and stops about 1. It's pretty pleasant. We've been there for, what is this, our fifth? We've been there 5 years. This will be our sixth year. Okay, next slide, please. So our school, we work at El Camino Academy. It's a Christian school. It's been there for, 20, 25 years. Started out as a peer missionary school where they had 8 or 9 kids in a house somewhere. And it's over the years, it's grown. And we've had more Colombian nationals now. We have about 80% Colombian nationals, 20% foreign nationals, missionaries, diplomats, kids, that kind of stuff. We have a strong academic program, and our focus is bilingualism. We have lots of service and missions trips from pre-K all the way through 12th grade. They all go on service trips, about 120 hours per kid through all 12 years. Is that it? Just in high school, okay. So the high schoolers have to do 120 hours of service. We have a student council, and then there's a T48 program for discipleship and to bring up leaders in our students. What else we got? Oh, mentoring. We've got small groups, chapels, Bible classes, and retreats. So what we do, I teach middle school math. I also lead a small group of middle schoolers, which sometimes changes every year. The last 4 years I had the same group, and then last year I had a brand new group, which I'll probably have a different group this year. I do staff worship and staff technology training, and Sarah is now the elementary principal, and she's been doing that all last year. And she has a little bit to tell you about another project that she's working on the coast of Colombia.
So 99% of my time is being the elementary principal, and 1% of my time, if you want to go to the next slide, is working in an island community called Boca Chica. It's out of the city of Cartagena. So this is on the coast. So we live in the middle of Colombia, so it's about an hour flight out to the coast and then about a 20-minute boat ride out to the island. If you want to go to the next slide. So Boca Chica is the big orange-yellow island there, and there are a community of about 10,000 people that live on the edge of the island. The community is very impoverished, and at this point, or up until January, there was one school in the community that was a public school, and the quality of the education on the island is just horrible in the terms of teachers just kind of decide if they want to go to school and teach that day or not. And it's so bad that at a public school, they actually the government pays families if their kid has good attendance. So like, it's not just like you're like the idea of a private school that you're wanting people to go. It's the other way around of we have such poor attendance. We need to incentivize the people. So in that, There's a church there that just was like, this is, there's no opportunities for our students to grow academically or in the Lord. If they're at public school all the time, they're getting influenced by a secular moral view and even one that is not perpetuating even strong values or anything like that. So they, a group of them were like, we want to start a Christian school, but they were like, we have no idea how to do that. So somehow through the work of God, I got connected with them. And starting in January, they opened the school with two classes, a pre-kinder class and a kinder class. And these are some of the kids. I got to go in March and teach some of their English classes and got to get to know the kids. And it's just a, such a different environment. The teachers there are 100% committed to the work that they're doing, 150% even. They don't make very much salary, but they don't care. It's for the kids that they're there to serve. They want to push their kids. They had the kids in kindergarten that still hadn't, didn't know how to count, didn't know any letters, didn't know colors. So they, the teacher there was just like, I had to start from zero. Like, usually at least when you start with kindergarten, they can go one, two, three, four, you know, basic things, and they weren't there. So, the cool thing is that in January of 2018, so this coming year, they're hoping to build their own building. Right now, they're partnered with Compassion International and using some of their facilities, but they're maxed out on space. They can't, they're constantly sharing spaces, and there's kids on top of kids and everything. So their vision is to really have their own building that they can just be set apart and be like, this is a school, this is a place of quality, this is a place where kids want to go, where it's fun, it's safe. And so in January 2018, their goal is to start construction. There's a missionary that lives on the island that has background in construction, so he's bringing a team from the States to start the first phase of it. They're looking for funds to start the first phase. It's $12,000, which is for a building is almost nothing. So I have information if you're interested in wanting to help them get their construction costs. There's a church in Bogota that's also very interested in partnering with them. I'm going to reach out to them in the next couple weeks and be like, okay, if you guys want to go and help, here's the information. They have the land already purchased. They have the plans already made. So now it's just a matter of getting it built. So God's doing cool things, and it's just fun to, again, this is 1% of my job. 99% is being an elementary principal. But it's just, it gives me life to see what God's doing in this island community.
And we have some news. Oh. One of us is pregnant. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, so baby's due in February. The plan is to have it in Colombia, but we'll maybe be back next summer, depending on how things go. So just lots of prayers in this time of learning to navigate the Colombian health system and having a kid in a foreign country. But I've had friends that have done it, and it's not perfect, but I don't think anywhere is perfect. So, yeah.
They have hospitals.
There's hospitals, and yeah, not on the side of a road anywhere, no. So, yeah.
Oh, and if anybody's interested, we will be having a baby shower at Chris and Rochelle Mejia's house the 21st at 5 p.m. And we'll get that in the bulletin for next week. Chris and Rochelle Mejia. We'll get it in the bulletin next week.
That's it. Thanks for your prayers and support. We love you guys, and it's been fun to be here. So.
So, yes.
Can we ask a question?
Oh my goodness, of course you can.
Eddie, do you teach in English?
Yeah, I teach in English full time. All of my classes are in English. I think about 80% of the classes they take are in English, and then about 20% are in Spanish.
So, even though there's lots of nationals, English is very much spoken there.
Yeah, yeah.
At our school.
At our school.
At your school.
Yeah.
Predominantly a Christian school.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And but your wife speaks Spanish, right?
Yeah, she speaks. Well, I think she does. I don't know what she's saying.
Thanks.
But it sounds like Spanish. Yes.
You're both.
Well, thank you. Any other questions or comments or?
All the students bilingual?
by the time they're in, what, fourth grade?
Second grade.
They're all bilingual. It is. I do take classes, but.
It ain't working.
Anyway.
How many of you are bilingual?
I'm a girl.
Trilingual? Well, you could be English, Spanish, and speak in tongues, right? So that's trilingual. There you go. All right. Thank you, guys. Hey, the mission mantra that I've heard ever since I was growing up, the 3 points of the mission mantra, number one, go. If God calls you into mission work, you go. And we've seen through the years, people go to all kinds of places, Mexico and Colombia and all kinds of places. The next thing is to give, and we have been generous in our giving. The third thing we get to do, if we remember to do it all the time, is to pray, right? Go give and pray. And most missionaries I've talked to say the prayer is perhaps the most important. Prayer is when we talk to the Lord. Amen? And so, Father, again, we lift up Eddie and Sarah to you. Not only do we love them, we know you love them, O God. You have called them. You have provided for them. So we ask that you would keep them healthy. As Sarah grows in the Lord and as the baby grows within her, give her peace and strength. Let her know that you're in control. Bless their ministry even as you bless their marriage, O God, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus.
Amen. Wow, this thing seems really hot. Does it? I'm getting feedback. Just a bit, Don says. This week we were to read from Psalm 8 to Psalm 44. The Psalms are, for us today, I think most of us would agree, wonderful devotional material.
Yeah.
But for David and those after him and all those who helped write some of the Psalms, they were songs of praise. They were hymns of worship. And the very practice of being honest with a counselor about your thoughts. Now, try not to look at that for a minute. What I'm trying to concentrate on is the fact that the scriptures are more than just book of history for us.
That's right.
That there's too many ways to try and calculate all the things that the scripture can be for us, but God is our counselor. Mm-hmm. And when we read the scriptures, if we're paying attention, God will speak to us.
Yes, he will, yes.
You've all had that experience. I've even talked to people who don't really believe much in God and don't think the Bible is the only holy book around. But if you ask them, well, when you read the Bible, do you sense a greater wisdom coming through? And usually people will acknowledge. I mean, this is a supernatural gathering of text.
Yes, it is.
And you can debate and argue about whether there's errors in it and whether history is influenced or culture. The thing is, God is counseling us.
Yes, he is.
And in the Psalms, the wonderful counselor shows up in written form. Now you can show slide one. Whoops, it went away. It's coming, she promises. There you go. The Psalms offer us more than God's truth about many subjects. They give us an example of how to relate to God. Now, I'm going to try and take you to a place today that is different than just reading a bunch of verses and saying, oh, that sounded good. I want you to try and gain an understanding of how you and I can relate to God. That God isn't just for the sweet by and by. That he is not just some super deity that someday we may get to encounter, all of which is true. The Psalms show us how to talk to God.
Yeah.
How to be honest with him by being honest with ourselves. And what I have observed over the years is that you and me, we have trouble being honest.
Amen.
We set up all kinds of protective devices around us. We don't want to be embarrassed. So we don't come clean about a lot of things because we think that if someone saw us in a certain light, we wouldn't appear as wonderful. Next slide. And I want you to look at a very partial litany. So what I encourage you to do, sometimes I actually do myself. And as I was reading through this, just this section this week, 8 to 44, I started noticing in the Psalms that it revealed to me certain kinds of things that God is teaching me. For example, here's a partial list. I don't claim that this is exegetically thorough, but at least these I can defend. David prayed frequently for a desire for safety. He prayed for deliverance from his enemies. He made declarations of righteousness. Just those three. I want to be safe. I don't want my enemies to overthrow and kill me. But I also want to declare that God is righteous.
Amen.
And that in Him, this is before Christ, in my faith in God, I'm righteous. And somebody could point out, well, David did some unrighteous things. But he didn't do them when he was walking with the Lord. He did them when he was walking in the flesh. True?
True.
So even David, pre-Christ, could declare that he was righteous.
Yes.
He actually asks God for a good life and a better future.
Amen.
I wonder, have you ever done that?
Amen.
We think of prayer as so limited. We can sometimes think that, okay, if there's two or three prayer requests, I'll write those down and that's what I'm going to pray for because those are valid things that people have on their hearts, right? But what about the general kind of, God, only in you can I have a good life and a better future?
Yes.
Right? I can't fix it all, right? I can't make everything wonderful. I want to be in God's presence. The theme of coming before the Lord and talking to Him is incredibly important in the Psalms and in David's life. I mean, you can't escape the fact that David would, in the Psalms, he would approach God Almighty. And he would talk to Him with an open heart and with honest integrity, yes?
Yes, he did.
And he would just pour it out there. Next slide. The themes of mercy, redemption, light and direction, of shelter, peace, grace, salvation, faithfulness, strength, and creation. I mean, just in a few pages of the Bible, David gets all of that on the record. That he is talking to his father about those things. God is calling us to talk to Him. You think about mother or father. We have a very young one in the back. Mom and dad are raising this young one, not just to feed and clothe, to have relationship with. Is that right?
Yeah.
And the training and the teaching and all that will happen from the time this little one starts to crawl and go all the way to college. I mean, the purpose is to build and develop relationship, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that we can communicate. I'm not picking on any person here. I'm not looking at any of you. Anybody know of somebody that has a communication problem in their family? Sometimes when our family dynamics get hurt or messed up or broken, what's the first thing that you stop doing? Stop talking to each other, don't you? If you get offended, one of your primary ways to deal with an offense is to stop talking.
Yes.
I have talked about this before, about I believe there's an offendability index. There's a way to measure how sensitive you are and how easily or not easily offended you are.
Yes.
And are you aware that you have some buttons?
Amen.
And that I might push on a certain subject that's not one of your buttons, and I can hammer away all day long, you don't care, and everything's fine. But if I touch on your button area, oh my gosh, I can get in trouble in a hurry. God wants us to come to Him. How would it be if you could tell God what your buttons were? Could you confess to the Lord areas that you have a problem? Do you see what prayer could become? In addition to, hey, I need more money or a better job or a healing in my body. All of those are valid. I'm not dismissing any of the things you pray for. I'm trying to expand our understanding of what prayer really is. Yes, it can be a list of concerns that we have. But can you see what David made it into? Hymns of praise, songs of worship. I mean, what would people think if when you went down the aisles at gym, you were singing songs of praise? Wow, they think you're some kind of holy Joe. Next one. That's it. A practical way to read the Psalms is to use them as a devotional. But what is a devotional? How do we do a devotional? Now, most of you have either have or have given devotionals to others. You've taken a time of the day, whether it's early morning or late at night or in between, and you say, I'm going to spend this time in devotion to God. And you have a set reading that you do. Yes? Are you familiar with that?
Yeah.
And in the devotion... What does it mean to do a devotion? Well, it means I'm going to read whatever the editor has for this day and let the Spirit come and inspire me. Well, I'm suggesting today that you do your devotionals with a pencil or a pen. That when you sit down to have this time of God, a time when you are hoping that He will speak to you, and an opportunity for you to speak to Him in an open way, that's good to have a pencil around. Some folks do a practice called journaling. Any journalists in the room? Anybody do journaling? Okay, it's like keeping a diary, right? And it's a discipline. It's a spiritual discipline that some folks have practiced over the years. It can be kind of exciting. For me, for example, I can go back and look at sermon notes from weeks, months, or years ago. I can look at what was on my heart by looking at sermon notes. And then I can try to relate to those. And you know, sometimes you can't relate because you're in a totally different place. That's the beautiful thing about being open with God. You can't con the guy, right? You can't manipulate him. You can't mislead him as to what is really on your heart because he sees everything.
Yeah.
What I'm saying to you is that if you will read the Psalms, I promise you that God will speak to you. Whether it's comfort, which David needed a lot of, or correction, which David needed a lot of. God will surely speak. So I'm going to run through several of the Psalms here and show you by example what I'm talking about. Psalm number 8, verse 5. But you placed the Son of Man just beneath God and honored Him like royalty, crowning Him with glory and honor. It may read a little differently in your translation. You place the Son of Man just beneath the Lord. Who do you think He's talking about there? He's talking about us. We would think, wait a minute, He's talking about Messiah. Do you realize that dominion was given to Adam and Eve?
Yes, it was.
There is now a whole theological field of study called dominion theology. It bothers me a little bit only because the current practice of dominion theology, I think, leaves out the understanding that we are living in a world of sin. Yeah. Since the Garden of Eden, we have been living in a broken world. But let's go back before Adam and Eve were driven out of the garden. Let's look at what God's purpose and intention was for Adam and Eve. If we can even get our head around that thought. What did the Creator mean for Adam and Eve?
To live forever.
To live forever, to name all the animals, all the plants, to live in this garden, probably to populate it. I mean, we can only try to understand what it would have been like had they not screwed up, right? Yeah. But now we got several thousand years of history that shows like what happens when you do screw it up. The cool thing is there's a thing called redemption. There's a thing called renewal, regeneration, however you want to understand what God is going to do. And that's where you get to think, wait a minute, He has created us with a plan.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
And we are going to have purpose.
Yes.
Some think that we will rule and reign in the heavenly realms, yes?
Yes.
I don't even know what that means. But it's telling us that He has placed us, the Son of Man, just beneath God Himself. Wow, what a cool thought. Psalms 9 and 10 taken together are an interesting two psalms. Psalms 9 is about praise, and Psalms 10 is about lament. Now we know what praise is.
Yeah.
Praise is the exaltation of God, yes? Do you find that when you praise God, you feel better?
Amen.
I mean, I know life isn't all about the feelings, but feelings are like a thermometer. Feelings are a good temperature taker. When you praise God, are you lifted?
Yes.
I think it's almost impossible to praise God very well if you're just down. But then there's the lament of Psalm 10, where David is pouring out his heart before the Lord. He's lamenting. The guy is almost bipolar, isn't he? Huh? I mean, one minute he's as high as a kite because God has rescued him and delivered him. Yes, I believe in you, God. There's no other God but you. And then an arrow comes flying by him and he says, oh, God, where have you been all my life? Huh? Boy, when I feel good and everything's happy and my body's good and I'm just, boy, it's easy to be a Christian.
Yeah.
Ooh. Lord, why did you forsake me?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say is, talking to God is both.
Yes.
Both when you're feeling good and you can praise the Lord, and when you're feeling crummy, that'd be a great time to talk to Him about why you're feeling so crummy.
It is. It's good.
Probably because, I know you've experienced this. Have you been in a low place? And you go to somebody else and you try and share your low place with them. What usually happens? They try and tell you about their low place. And they say, well, not only that, but you should see what I've been going through. And you try and out-low place each other. How edifying. In Psalm 5, because I have a pet doctrine, you have to forgive me for a minute, but I just want to read this. He says to the Lord, you confronted the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have erased their names from history. Now that's how this editor, he has that word erased in there. When I see the word erased, it pops up on my screen. What does the Holman say at verse 5 of chapter 9 there?
You have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have erased their name forever.
Oh, it says erased also. No wonder that's a good book. Anybody have it different?
Wiped out.
You have wiped out.
Blotted out their name.
Blotted out.
Erased.
Erased. Now, church, you like me a little bit. Just hang with me on a certain understanding here. How did your name get in the book of life? Anyone?
God put it there at the beginning of creation.
God wrote your name in the book of life before the foundation of the world. How do I know that? All right, so I'm only going to use Bible. God wrote your name in the book of life. Now fast forward to when you were born. Now you and your name came together. You lived your life a certain way. What happens next? Oh, you die and go to heaven. But spiritually, what happens? Considering the book of life.
You get called.
What happens is your name either stays in the book of life for eternity, or your name is erased. All Bible, go to Revelation, you'll see that one of the capacities that God has in judgment is to erase your name from the book of life. Sometimes it's very good to be honest and understand the power of God. Not to be fearful, but wait a minute, I'm going to get to live this entire life and live with him for eternity, yes? Why do I care about what you and I call the lost? I care about the lost because I don't want to see their name erased.
Yes, amen.
Amen?
Amen. It's good to understand, too, Pastor, that in that analogy, an unbeliever say, well, that's not fair. But the choice is ours. The choice of whether our name gets erased or not is ours. That unbelief, the only prerequisite for spending all eternity with Christ is our belief in the Savior.
So if you're just doing a daily read, you're going through the Psalms, you come to chapter 9, you read the little thing about erased, and it pops up in your brain that Pastor Skip has a radical thought about erasure. Wouldn't it be great if you were driven into further study? There's a field of theology called soteriology. That's the study of and about salvation. It comes from the Greek word soter, which means to save. The common everyday use of the word was not spiritual salvation, it was healing. Because in biblical talk, what being saved means is to be spiritually healed.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
All right, so Jesus Christ is the Savior. Jesus Christ is the healer.
Yes, he is.
Huh?
Amen.
Well, what is it that he comes to heal? Does he just come to heal when I hurt? He comes to heal me.
Yes.
And return me to that Adamic state so that he and I will live forever.
Yes.
If you study and do your devotions with a pencil, it can take you all kinds of places. One year I introduced Kevin to the Dakes Bible. Kevin was obedient. He ran right out and bought the thing. And after about a couple of weeks, he calls me up. He says, I can't keep up with this guy. It's still a good book, isn't it? All right. Psalm 9, verse 10. Those who know your name will rely on you. For you, O Eternal One, have not abandoned those who search for you.
Hallelujah.
If we couple that with Irene's thought that a lot of what happens to us is based on the choices that we make, Norma's mantra now ever since I've known her has been about making choices. She loves to get a hold of kids and talk to them about making choices. Choices have consequences. Consequences have results, yes?
Yeah.
And one of the things I think people do, even in the Christian faith, is let's say you're raised in the church, you went forward to the altar one or more times, you got baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon you, you were filled with gifts you didn't comprehend. Let's just say you've had this wonderful Christian life, and then you had a moment of the flesh. You made a dumb choice. I know of Christians that have left the church because of shame, because of guilt, because they felt like they had been abandoned.
Yeah.
David says, God, You are a great God. You do not abandon us.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah.
We have a culture that knows a lot about abandonment. Noah Cook one day gave a wonderful presentation about thanking God that he was not the victim of abortion. Right? That he got to stand here and talk to us and play piano and do things because he was not abandoned by his biological parent. What great hope we get. In chapter 10, verse 1, I'm just going to hit a couple more highlights. Chapter 10, verse 1. Why, O Eternal One, are you so far away? Is that a prayer? Reads like a prayer.
It's a question.
He's talking to God. And what is he saying?
Help. Help me.
Have you ever been there?
Yes.
Okay, here we are, Bible-believing, Spirit-baptized, going to church, praise and worship people. And do we ever get to the place where you say, God, where are you?
Yes.
I thought I was doing it right. I thought I was making right choices. I mean, I'm having a Job meeting,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
I thought I'm doing everything just the way you're supposed to, oh God. Heard the sermon on tithing, I gave 20%. Heard the sermon on going, I went to Columbia. I mean, I've done everything I've known what to do. Why do you seem so distant from me, Lord?
Amen.
Folks, I think this is a very valid prayer.
Yes,
I think this is what I'm talking about, honesty and integrity of your soul, to be able to cry out to the Lord. Because what happens if you come to another human and you say something like, you know, I don't feel so close to God.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to say to me? Tough luck. These are really... Who is the great counselor? The Lord. In chapter 11, verse 1, there's another great question. If I can find chapter 11. Here it is. Verse 3. If the foundations are crumbling... Is there hope for the righteous? Now, what is that about?
Life falling apart.
Life falling apart, the foundations crumbling. I thought I had everything right, and now it's coming to pieces. Is there hope for who?
The righteous.
The righteous. This is another Job kind of moment. What is being said to God is... Everything can fall away. I can lose everything I've had. I can be filled with sores and boils. But Lord, I'm choosing you.
Yes.
And my friends will come and tell me all the things I need to change to make my life better. And I'm going to say, God, I'm choosing to believe in you. People will come and say, why don't you just curse that God of yours? That church business has not worked for you.
Yeah.
I'm just going to continue to choose God.
Yes, amen.
So no matter what kind of attack you're under, it's usually a spiritual attack, I'm going to say, I choose to believe in God.
Amen.
I'm running out of time. In chapter 11, verse 6, there's a great prophecy, I think, about Pompeii. You know what Pompeii is? Pompeii is a city in Italy. It's right next door to Herculaneum, near the big city now of Naples. But it's a volcano, or it's a city built in the shadow of a volcano. And listen to what happened. David wrote this psalm somewhere between 900 and 1,000 years before Christ. Okay, that just from a general framework, it was a long time ago. But he talks about something that was going to happen in AD 79. That's when the mountain blew up, like St. Helens, right? It blew up and it buried Pompeii and Herculaneum under not just inches, but multiplied feet of ash and dirt and all kinds of things. Now get this. That was AD 79. It was not until the year 1599 that Pompeii was rediscovered. I didn't do the math, but almost 1,400 years this city lay under 20, 30 feet of ash.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you were asking somebody about Pompeii's existence, they would say it didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was rediscovered. And now you can walk through the streets of Pompeii. Carol and I have done it. It's just, it's kind of supernatural. You're walking through and you can go into the houses and you can see the paintings on the wall. Wow. It is spectacular.
It's an OMSI too right
here. I guess it is. I haven't been. Pompeii came to OMSI. So as you read the Psalms, my point is, they can tell you prophetically about amazing things that are coming. In chapter 16, look with me quickly, chapter 16, verse 5. You, Eternal One, are my sustenance and my life-giving cup. In that cup you hold my future and eternal riches. Does your translation have the word cup?
Yes.
What cup could he be talking about? He didn't know about the cup of the Messiah. He didn't know about the four cups of the Last Supper. He didn't know about what we would call the cup of blessing, or when Jesus took the cup and said, in this cup I make a new covenant with you in my blood, right? But he's speaking of it right here, isn't he? The Psalms come alive if you let them. If you have a pencil, if you circle something, what's that talking about? And then, oh my goodness, they're so incredible. Chapter 19, verse 7. Took me way back. I'll see if I can do this. There's a song about the law of the Lord is perfect. Do any of you remember that old song? The law of the Lord is perfect.
Yes.
The law of the Lord is perfect, turning lives around. I can't sing it in this translation. All through this, in fact, I wished I'd have thought about that. Steve Heiser has a book of praise songs, worship songs, that all come from the Psalms. Yeah, I mean, you got a whole bunch of them, right?
Yeah.
And it is so wonderful just to sing the Psalms.
I keep discovering new ones, too.
New songs in the Psalms, because they were meant to be sung, weren't they? In chapter 22, verse 1, we get a prayer that Jesus prayed. My God, why have you turned your back on me?
Yes.
As he suffered on the cross. Chapter 23. Many of you have memorized Psalm 23. The famous Psalm of comfort.
Yes.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Wow. What a psalm of comfort and dedication and honesty. Chapter 25, verse 14. Only those who stand in awe of the Eternal will have intimacy with Him, and He will reveal His covenant to them.
Hallelujah.
What did you hear in that?
Hope.
What's the teaching?
You have to be a believer.
Those who have stand in awe of the Lord will have intimacy with Him. What does it mean to be in awe of something?
Reverence.
We go to sporting events and we see people, yay, and I'm in awe of that guy, he's so incredible, or that woman athlete is so fantastic, I'm in awe of them. Do you have any intimacy with those people?
No.
You go to the rock concert and you see all the kids going berserk, oh, I'm just in awe of what they do and the millions they make. You don't have any intimacy with them. When you get to a place that God is awesome, you begin the march to intimacy.
Yeah.
If God is just a thought, if He is a concept, if He is just something you think about occasionally, you might even say you believe in your heart. I'm not questioning that you believe there is a God. But if you're not in awe of Him, I doubt that you have much intimacy.
Yeah.
If you still see yourself as pretty self-contained, big, and important, it's hard to have intimacy with God.
Yeah.
Eddie had a few songs for us this morning that talked about being humble, talked about bending the knee, talked about turning away from evil thoughts. Yes?
Yeah.
When we develop the awe of God, then we begin the march to intimacy. We haven't done it in a while, but there's a song, Our God is an Awesome God. But that's different than saying, I am in awe of God. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes, he's awesome whether I believe in him or not. Right? But if I come to him and say, I am in awe of you. I mean, how many more words could you say to try and describe what it is to be in awe of God? You could talk for a long time. Yes? Mm-hmm. What I'm trying to encourage you is a way to pray. This whole message has to do with a new way to pray. Is to get honest with God, to get real with God, to be in awe of him, and then to tell him why you're in awe of him. Now, this happens to us frequently, but Carol and I walk our loop around Cedar Canyon and Hartwick and what have you, and she is, this time of year, taken to note the wildflowers. We have wildflowers out here in the country, yes? Some people think they're weeds.
Yeah.
Some people spray them and kill them.
Yeah.
Carol gives me a lesson as we walk around. Look at this one, look at that one. The other day she practically falls down crawling through a ditch full of blackberries to get this one tiny little flower. And what was impressing her was the awesomeness, the majesty of this one flower. Because it was perfect. You were ready to talk about that flower. I was 100 yards away. It was just amazing. And who made the flower? God made it. If we would just take time to think about how awesome our God is. Chapter 27, he says in verse 4 that there is one thing. One thing I am pleading with God about. His soul's desire. This one thing. To live with him all my days. Folks, whether you're high, whether you're low, whether you're happy, whether you're sad, whether you're strong, whether you're weak, this is a good prayer to say, Father, I just want to be with you.
Yeah.
I worship you. I love you. You're my God. I'm your kid. Have your way with me. Do you remember what we finished last week's message with? The words, the assignment I gave you? Anybody remember? And you all failed.
We're submitting to God every day.
God, I yield to you. Okay, I'm going to give you the same assignment and see who improves it this next week. God, I come and I yield to who?
To you.
I yield to God.
You're missing part of it.
Okay.
You told us to yield everything.
God, I yield
everything,
everything that I'm able to yield. I yield to you. In chapter 30, it talks about both wrath and grace, about both pain and joy. In chapter 32, a lot of your Bibles have the word blessed, blessed, blessed. This translator, I think, is more accurate. He uses happy, happy, happy. Because to be a blessed person is to understand how happy you are because of what God has done for you. And then in chapter 37, it tells us that God gives to us custom-designed gifts. Custom-designed gifts. How many of you are great musicians? Well, how many of you are great anything? But God has given each of us the gifts that he wants us to have.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're lifelong gifts that you get to have for the whole career. Sometimes they're momentary gifts that he gives you because you need them right now for this moment. There's a whole opportunity, church, for you to pray. If you're going into a situation and you're uncomfortable about the situation, wouldn't that be a good time to ask the Lord for help?
Yeah.
You don't have time to go to the church. You don't have time to call the minister. You don't have time to go to confession. Oh, you got to do this now. You got to get right with God right now. Lord, I'm going into something that's bigger than me. I need help. So, Don, God, I yield
everything
to you. So we're just at Psalm 44, and this next week you get to read from 55 on. Excuse me, 45?
45.
How far? That's okay. You'll read it. Lord Jesus, again, we bow before you. We lift our hands to you. We stand in awe of you, O God. Help us to be free in our prayer life. Help us to be delivered from all of the concerns about what others may think and only be concerned with what you think. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, God bless you, church. You're free for some fellowship. Eddie and Sarah are going to hang around a little bit. Right, Ed? Sarah, you can hang around and tell them everything you didn't tell them before. Okay, you're dismissed.